asking for prayers for Charles Hillman. He's a friend of James Shaw, and he's had two strokes recently. We're waiting to find out what the prognosis is on that. Participating in the evening service, song leader this evening is... Opening prayer will be by Brother Bob Bowen. The speaker this evening, Brother Gilbert Baldwin. The sermon title, Apostasy. The scripture reading for that comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Scripture reader will be Brother Wiley Edwards. And then at the appropriate time, the closing prayer will be given by Brother Philip Williams. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to come here again this evening. We pray that everything that we do here will be appropriate and pleasing in your sight. Please help us to focus on the message that we have this evening. These things we ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, turn to hymn books on page 384. 384, The Lily of the Valley. Sing all three verses.
And I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows bore. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Oh, the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore. Through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he, my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Before we go to God in prayer this evening, please turn to hymn books to page 536. 536, Heaven Came Down. Sing verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Down of this valley with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I have hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Dear Father, we thank you for this evening, and thank you, dear Father, for this congregation and for this nation, and for all of the gifts that you have given us, and for our ability to understand your word, our ability, dear Father, to form friendships, and the ability, dear Father, to love one another. We thank you for all of this. We also ask, dear Father, that in addition to these blessings, you be with us in our times of grief, that you be with those of us who are in mourning for losing dear ones. And that you be with each of us, dear Father, as we struggle physically with ailments, with disease, with infections, and just minor things that affect all of us. And we also, dear Father, approach you and ask that you be with us in our times of sorrow and our times of mental despair, that you lift us up and not let us be overwhelmed with the burdens of life, with the disappointments of life, with our failures, with our shattered dreams. Pray, dear Father, that you would be with us through all of these daily occurrences and throughout our life, dear Father, that we'll realize the hope that we have in you and that we'll pursue that which is good in life and not surrender to pessimism. Help us to have the optimism of a Christian, dear Father, that we may have a home with you. We ask this evening, dear Father, you'll be with our brother Gilbert as he brings forth this lesson on apostasy. Help us, dear Father, to look at our lives and weigh them against your word, dear Father, that we not fall. Be with us all, dear Father, and help us to keep our minds and our hearts on you. For we ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Cindy will done it again. You put the wrong number there, but Martin Hill looks at page 837. That's it. 837.
837. That'll be our Psalm of the Church. After Margaret has, please turn to page 763. 763. We'll work with the end song. We'll sing all three verses of this. Oh,
Lord, bless for me, I shall pray.
This evening's sermon title is Apostasy. Apostasy. The scripture reading is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat. You shall not eat, you shall not touch it, lest ye die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant in the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, Brother Gilbert.
Good evening, everybody. You know, it's always good to be in the Lord's house, whether it's morning or evening. I got a text message from Reese around about 3. He said he wouldn't be going tonight. I said, okay, thank you. So, certainly we keep him in prayer, though, that he can get better and recover soon, you know. He did good to be able to come this morning and come because when he was in the hospital, he was stretched out pretty well. So we're thankful that he's recovering as fast as he is. Well, tonight I'm going to tell you the same thing Elizabeth Taylor told her seventh husband. She said, "I'm not going to keep you long." And I'm not going to keep you long either. Well, tonight's lesson is about apostasy. Apostasy. Read into your hearing from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, where verses 1 through 6. Apostasy simply means to depart from. It means to fall away. In our text, we have the first apostasy. I believe this was a model for all apostasies. Whenever men, women, boys, and girls fall away from God, truly this first example becomes the very format by which you can gauge every person that deviates and falls from God. Man has proven throughout history that he's surely fallen away from God many, many times. We can see it in nature, how that man has deviated from God's plan. God furnishes us with air, the rivers, but many of them are polluted now because man has deviated from what God has intended in nature. We see how man has deviated in the family. God created male and female. They were to come together as one. Man has deviated from that. Now we have people of the same sex being partners and telling us that this is acceptable with God. So not only has man deviated in nature and deviated in terms of the family, but we find that when man has invented things for the betterment of society, many times these inventions become and develop into things that are bad for society. The computer, for instance, it was invented to help man in his life, to be an aid, but that very computer can be used in the destruction of man. So I'm not surprised today that even in religion, men have deviated from God's intended purpose. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The Bible didn't say that they might depart from the faith. Bible said they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So this idea of apostasy has not caught God off guard. God had predicted it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says, "The time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." So, the time, ladies and gentlemen, the time is here. Men have deviated from God's intended purpose. So what I want to do this evening, I want to go back and I want to analyze Adam and Eve's fall. Hopefully you and I can be blessed, you and I can be helped, that we will not make the same tragic mistakes that they made and that so many people are making today. I want you to see, first of all, the perpetrator. I want you to see the perpetrator behind all of this apostasy. And then I want to examine his program. I want to show you how he's been using things to bring the downfall and the destruction and the evil that men do. Then I want to show you, ladies and gentlemen, God's process in bringing men back to him. Now, first of all, who is the serpent? Notice the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Now, Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Everything was beautiful. Everything in the garden was perfect. They had perfect peace. They didn't have to worry about anything. They didn't have to worry about dying. Because the Bible basically tells us that their lives were eternal. But when we look at their lives, you know, they had everything that you and I are striving for even today. So know for a fact, when things are going well, there's going to be a perpetrator that's going to come on the scene. Things are going well, the devil is going to show himself. So who is the serpent? I truly believe it was the devil, because the Bible tells us in Revelation 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who is the serpent? Oh, the serpent is none other than the devil. He is Satan. Ladies and gentlemen, well, what does he do? He deceiveth the whole world. In the book of John, the chapters 8, the verses 44, Scripture says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So that means that he is a murderer, a liar. There's no truth in him. He will never speak the truth. He speaks lies. And if you are a liar, your daddy is the devil. Now, know for a fact that the devil is also spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verses 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So the devil is active. He's more active than some members of the church. He's on the prowl. And that's what Peter is wanting us to see from way back then. The devil is a murderer, does not abide in the truth. And when John depicts him in the book of Revelation, John depicts him as a dragon. All right, 2 Corinthians 11 and the verses 14, it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you cannot tell the devil just by looking at him. Why? Because he doesn't have a long forked tail and horns, and he doesn't come in a red suit, right? Sometimes he comes in a dark, conservative suit, huh? With a nice blue and white tie. Well, let's make that a green tie. I forgot what I had on. Sometimes he comes in a nice tan or a light colored suit. Or maybe a blue or a green dress. You just can't tell. Sometimes he sits in the front. Sometimes he sits in the middle. Sometimes he sits way in the back. Right? But the devil is one who is able to transform himself. And you think you are looking at an angel, but what you're really looking at is the devil himself. Therefore, know for a fact that the devil is not our friend. In the book of Ephesians, the chapter 6, verses 12, Scripture says, how that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, that tells me that there is a system of evil that is supernatural. You know, we don't talk about this a whole lot, but we should. because it's there, right? That there is an evil that is beyond a human being. So therefore, when you think in terms of apostasy and why men and women, boys and girls, fall away from God, it's because the devil has put in place an organized system. He put that in place to take us away from God. So the devil is not our friend. He will do all that he can to keep us down. He will do all that he can to destroy us, as he did Adam and Eve in the very beginning. He did not want them in the garden, and he does not want us in heaven. So, I've got to pull him out today. I've got to pull the devil out, and I know he doesn't like this, but I want us to really see how he operates. Let's look at this program and see this program. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, our scripture text for tonight, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." Look at what the devil does. He comes slowly. He comes around to the woman. He says, notice now, he never really denies what God has said, never denies that God has spoken. But what the devil does, he comes there and to the woman and he challenges her on what God did say. Now, the devil knows what God said. The devil knows exactly what he said. So does the woman. The devil knows what God has said. But what does the devil do? He takes what God has said and he challenges the woman. He wants to create doubt in her mind about what God has said. So rule number one, never let the devil cause doubt in your mind about what God has said. I'm trying to show you how apostasy takes place. Now, whenever God gives a plain command, the devil will always challenge you about what he said. Religion is not divided over what God said. Religion is divided over men not wanting to accept what God has said. God said, "Ye shall surely die." No doubt about what God said, no doubt. But watch what the devil does. The devil says, "Ye shall not surely die." A direct contradiction. God said, "Ye shall." The devil comes back and says, "Ye shall not." So, who are you going to believe? The devil is smart. The devil will contradict God until he creates doubt in your mind about what God has said. If he never creates doubt, he'll never contradict. So number one, doubt. Number two, contradiction. Contradiction won't work until you doubt what is plainly said. There's as much difference as between thou shalt and thou shalt not as night and day, as east is from west. So I want to know, who is the woman going to believe? Is she going to believe the devil, or is she going to believe God? What makes the woman believe the devil above God? God is the one who brought them, put them in the garden. God is the one who's been taking care of them. God is the one who gave them the trees. The devil just showed up. He just showed up. Now, the devil is shrewd. He knows he can't just contradict God and then just leave that out there. He covers it up with a little truth. He knows what you like. So he takes his contradictions and he baits them with what we like. And then when we disregard the hook and we go after the bait, you're just going after what you like instead of what God says. So she has overlooked altogether what God has said. 1 John chapter 2 and the verses 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life are not of God, but they are of the world." So there are three ways a person can sin: through the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when the devil comes to us, we've got to know that he's going to come with something that appeals to our eyes, something that appeals to our ears, something that appeals to the pride of life. Now, let's see how Eve sinned. Let's go back to our text and read that one verse, Genesis 3 and verse 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." You know, I think a good question is, why did the devil come to the woman in the first place? That's a good question, isn't it? Right? Wonder why he didn't go to Adam. I just thought I'd ask the question. I didn't say I was going to answer it. All right? I thought I would just ask the question. But it is a good question, you know. So I know you want the answer to that question. Well, we just have to wait. We'll have to ask God one day, right? All right. Now watch this. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So when the woman saw, she disregarded what the devil was saying, and she's going by what she sees. So he got her in all three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and then pride of life. She failed in all three. Then what did Adam do? The Bible said that the woman was deceived and the man was not deceived, which tells me that the man had a problem with the woman. He loved the woman. He loved the woman more than he loved God, apparently. So the devil knew that if I get the woman, then I got the man. The man didn't ask any questions. You know, "Here, Adam, take a bite." You know, some men are so weak. He should have said, "Put that down. Stay away from there. And I better not ever catch you over there again." Well, I better move on. When a person takes the plain word of God and disregards it and takes what the devil says, and once you've done that, apostasy has taken place. You have not apostatized as long as he's tempting you. The apostasy takes place when you substitute God's word and go on with the devil's word. Jesus said, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I shall liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock." He said, "And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it did not fall." Why? Because it was founded on a rock. Put your religion on the word of God, not on tradition, not on what somebody else said. Because one of these days, we are going to have to leave this world, and we're going to have to face Jesus Christ, who gave us these words. Jesus said, "If he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. For the words that I have spoken," he said, "the same shall judge him in the last day." The words of Jesus Christ, those words are going to judge us one day. Well, tonight you've heard his word. I hope you will believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. That's how you become a member of the body of Christ. So if you're here tonight, you need to come forward. You need to be restored. Why don't you take care of that tonight as together we stand and sing?
Hallelujah. 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 I will praise him. 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 He's my Savior. My Redeemer, how he loves me, how I love him. He is risen. He has come near. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia.
If you're in need of partaking of the Lord's Supper this evening, if you welcome, have a seat in the front pew, you will be served after we sing the first verse of 124. 1, 2, 4. Off we come to go.
Off we come together. Off we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, thy love to sing. May we all in truth and spirit.